have two major difficulties. One is eyesight, and the other is hearing. I've got two hearing aids here, so I need to know, can you hear me well back there? Save your hands. If you do, raise your hand. Okay. I found out that these hearing aids are so cockeyed, I guess you'd say, I can take a bite of food and chew it, and all I can hear is my chewing. Somebody tried to talk to me while I'm doing that. It's waste of. So I got two liabilities here, but you know the Apostle Paul had that seeing liability as well, so maybe I can learn from him. I want to ask you this question. First of all, have you ever heard someone say, sin will keep you from God's word, or God's word will keep you from sin? How many have heard that? Hold your hands up. That's what we're talking about tonight in this section. This section is about scripture memory, but it's about scripture memory of the word, not something else, you know, and so it's really about the word. So I'm going to be talking about that. The first verse and the third verse were two I memorized years and years ago that say, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I think you would recognize too for yourselves that old men and old women pray for the same way by the word of God. This morning we were doing a little exercise we haven't done in Sunday school because we'd been in Philippians 3rd chapter where Paul gives his testimony, the Apostle Paul, and so I told the guys to get ready to give their, write out their testimony and we'd share it. And everybody did, you know, but I wrote mine out at home and put it on in typeface 22 point and read it under a deal here. It took 4.5 minutes. So I took that testimony and put it in this size type. I got 27 pages. So I decided not to write it out so I could read it. If I can read this, it'll be good. So we'll see how that goes. I'll find my way here in a moment, I guess. We've been singing Psalm 1 for a month, right? No, longer than that. With our Wednesday night services, you know, singing it, praying it, and reading it. And if you think about that, what that man says there, it says, the psalm writer, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, which he meditates in day and night. So how do you suppose he was able to do that in the night? Scripture memory. Goes on to say there that he becomes a fruitful and stable person who is prosperous in all that he does. And then Joshua 1:8 is another time when God says to Joshua, says, keep these commandments in your heart, and if you do, you will have great success. So the profit of the word of God in your heart is very clear in the scriptures there. And one of the things that I wanted to make mention of here, I won't get through all the individual verses because we're talking about these things, but the last verse sort of capsulizes the whole thing because it says, I will not forget your commandments. So how is he not going to forget them? He's going to memorize them, you know. I want to tell you a little practical idea that was developed by the founder of the Navigator organization called the Word Hand. So hold up your left hands for yourself like this, face it to you, and take hold of your little finger, okay? So that little finger represents hearing the word. You take your thumb over there and put it on the little finger and try to pick up something. You don't have much grasp. You don't have much strength. You can, but won't. So the hearing is the least way of getting the word into your life. The next one is reading. When you're reading your word, the word of God, you're reading it with your eyes. If you read it out loud, you're hearing it and you're seeing it. So it's a stronger input of the word into your very being. The third one is study. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study is a little more diligent there. It's harder to get to, too, because you have to make a point to do it. But in there you begin to find things out that the Word says. Jesus accused the Jews. He says, you search the Scriptures for in them you think you find life. And they are they which testify me of me, but you will not accept me. He saw that they were studying the Word of God, but they were not looking for what they really wanted, what they really needed. So sometimes we have to have a right heart to do that. The fourth one then, hold your forefinger, is Scripture memory. And you put that with this one right here, which meditation is the fifth one. So you have hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating. You can meditate on the Word of God after you go to bed, right? Because you have it in your heart and mind. That's what happened to me when I was saved back in January the 8th, 1956. I went to bed with a verse of Scripture on my mind that had the word ungodly in it. And I lay there, I realized what God was saying to me, Gene, you're ungodly. And I always thought I was a pretty good guy, but I wasn't. I didn't amount to much before God. And so at that point, I realized that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I was an ungodly person, like it says in that verse, Romans 5, verse 6, for when you are without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, which is the case of all of us when we come to know the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 22, there's a... Chapter 22, verses 17 through 19. In the original King James, it seems to give a picture there of a person who has the Word of God in his heart. He's ready like a person with a bow and arrow, that the Lord can fit that word to the bowstring of your tongue, and you can fire it as a dart, you know. You've got that picture there that like an arrow, the Word of God can go and pierce whatever it hits. I remember a time in the Army when I was stationed overseas, and I was in the supply department, and this other guy and I were there sorting sheets. The Quartermaster Corps had a problem there. It seemed like they'd lose sheets and they'd get charged for the bed sheets, you know, and so we were folding those things and counting them. And about 2 days there, we're going this way, and I was talking to this guy, Jim, about my testimony, telling him how it came about, and how I was lying there thinking about this verse, and God showed me I was ungodly. And he says, Gene, you're just making up things. You're just having a dream and so forth. And the thought came to me, and I'd been talking with him about this quite a bit, and it suddenly came to me. I said, Jim, you know, the Lord's given me this verse for you. This is his message to you. And I quoted to him that Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. No, it wasn't that. It was one that says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the power of that verse, not from me, but from God, shook him so hard I could have slapped him and he would have made as much of an effect as that did, because he staggered back like that. And from that moment on, there was silence between us, you know. In about a week, he was gone because he was going to get out on a Section 8. Wanted to get out of there. He couldn't stand it, I guess. So God really can use the Word of God like an arrow on a bowstring. Bing! Right to your heart. And that's what he does, you know. It happens like that. It's really great that God can do that. Then, come on. Can't do my pages apart. So what will the Word of God do for you? It's going to give you purity of life. The Word of God sanctifies you because Jesus said, prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17:17. Then he also, Peter writes this to the new believer. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And we talk about that even on to the Word of God is also in Acts 20:32 says that the Word of God in your life will give you an inheritance along with those who are sanctified. So it's the Word of God that does that in our lives. So I'll come back to that one statement I had before, which sums it up. God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. If it's in your heart and life, it'll bring it immediately to light. You remember when Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4:4, he says, Satan says, if you're the Son of Man, turn this stone into bread. And Jesus did not say, sit down and shut up, which he could have said. And he would have had to do it, right? He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Paul writes over there to Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is truth, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So, we find that the Word of God is this foundation of our lives. It is one. One place in the Psalms, Psalm 138, verse 2, I believe Shirley told me, I had to have her look it up for me, says that he exalts his Word over his name. Figure that one out, because the name of the Lord we sing about, you know, but something in that makes the psalmist write that out like that, that the Word of God is something that we can memorize and learn in our hearts and carry us through. How many of you know a verse that tells you that you are saved? And that is the end of my discussion.